Hello and welcome to episode 50 of Spooky Girls, the podcast where we explore all sorts of real-life paranormal and creepy occurrences, from ghost sightings and hauntings to reported alien and cryptid encounters, myths, folklore, legends and more. Every episode we cover a different true spooky story. We're your hosts. I'm Katrina.
And I am Jasmine, and thank you guys for joining us again.
Episode 50!
Yes, episode 50. And today we have a very, very special guest with us.
We do.
With the help of a dedicated crew, his popular web show, Beyond Paranormal, has tested the mettle of believers and skeptics alike with spine-chilling footage documenting their forays into some of the most infamously haunted sites in America. Is death the end, or is it simply the beginning of a whole new chapter? Well, we may not find out today, but we will certainly get as close as ever with the help of the wonderful Corbin Bentley. Welcome, Woo! Corbin. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is an honor.
Thank you for being here, Corbin. And Corbin just found out that this is episode 50.
Yeah, so. that's amazing. You guys are amazing. Thanks for having me. I can't even say the word. So.
Well, no, thank you for agreeing to be on it. I mean, we're a pretty small podcast still for 50 episodes. So yeah, we really, really appreciate it. And we've got lots of fun interview questions lined up, which we can't wait to get started on. So our first question is, how did you get into the paranormal to begin with? What happened at that church when you were 15?
Oh, man. So pretty much the church was down the street from my childhood home. And my mom used to go down there all the time. And she's hear all these different stories about, the workers saying okay, there's something down there in that church. And, me and my dad are big ghost adventures fanatics. So, we were just excited, to get down there and try to experience something. And, we went down there and it was my brother. It was me and my dad. And my dad asked a question. He's like, if anything is in this church, can you make a knocking sound? And on command, we heard a knock. Okay, this is real. This is so real. So we go upstairs and there's a balcony area. And we're just sitting there listening. And you can hear Indian drums going off in the background. I don't know what it was, but you can hear Indian drums.
Yeah.
That still is one of my top experiences just because it's my first one, but it definitely stands out still today. And I've experienced so many different things, but that one just kind of stands out.
Yeah.
Do you reckon that you might go back to that church sometime with the whole crew and see what else you can find there?
Yeah, I go back often still, okay. I just, it's active, but I've been to so many different places. That's a piece of cake now. So every time
this is nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing. But when I was 15, it was just everything to me. So
oh, yeah.
Awesome. That's unusual for a parent to be let's go, kids.
My dad, whenever we would go on these long drives up to Scotland to see my grandma, he'd always stop off at some random decrepit cemetery and make us play hide and seek in the cemetery. It was great.
Was it just fathers?
I blame him completely for just me being an emo kid at the age of 27. That's completely his fault.
So. You got a cool dad.
Oh yeah,
it's a cool dad. Right,
I mean, I guess we both do, so it's all good.
Yeah, we got cool dads, okay.
I still played in cemeteries, but that was due to my mum.
Just her personal hobby. It's fine.
Nothing's wrong with cemeteries. I like them too. So.
We all end up there someday anyway. So you've had a myriad experiences over the years, but how did you get started with Beyond Paranormal, your show?
So pretty much I was, this is going to sound funny, but I was sitting at home and I was talking to my friend. I'm like, I want to do something that's going to be different, but also kind of new at the same time. So originally we were urban exploring, I got a couple friends together. We started going out exploring abandoned places. Then obviously abandoned places, sometimes they might be haunted. So we started getting more into the haunted side of things. And here I am 3 years later.
Yeah.
Most notorious haunt, so.
Yeah, so 3 years, you've had some serious success in 3 years.
Yeah, I've been very blessed, I can say that. It's been a journey, for sure.
Well, I think a lot of people like you as a personality. as well, because a lot of like they take themselves too seriously. Some like ghost hunting.
Are you trying to shade Zach Bagans?
My Lord and Master. Zach Bagans, never.
She's shading. Never. No, I just like being myself. You know, like I feel as though like if you're not there with me, I try to bring that experience to you when you're watching me. So. Yeah. If I'm scared, you will know I'm scared. I'm not going to report anything. If I'm not feeling anything, I'm not going to just sit here and say it. Everything's real with me, you know? So I think you can get a kick out of me being scared. And
so you don't pretend to be possessed and then get really aggressive at your camera person.
I don't want to be possessed, so.
No, I hope you don't get possessed, touch wood. But,
I hope not.
Make it very dramatic.
There's been one experience where I've kind of been like out of it, and I've tried to stay away from that location and that you know, kind of vibe wherever I go places. So
I do definitely like how in one of your recent videos I saw you literally just said, oh yeah, that was dope, can you do it again? And I was, all I could think is like, you never hear people in these TV shows using actual human language. They always are like, ah yes, we've made a connection to the others, and they go into this really kind of theatrical sort of state. But I really appreciate that you're just there to hang out and you're like, you know what, that was dope, do it again.
Yeah, I mean, half the time it happens, so I think they like the lingo.
So if you like weren't doing this paranormal stuff, what would do you think you'd be doing as a job instead?
Ooh,
alternate.
If the paranormal did not exist in some kind of,
if it didn't call to you,
that sounds like a sad world where the paranormal not exist. I would see my. I am really a basketball fan, so before like all of this, I was really playing basketball a lot. I thought I was gonna be like this big basketball star, you know. But I feel like I would be doing that. You know, I'd probably be working on that craft a lot more. But the paranormal definitely took over my life, and I just love the thrill of everything.
They're both really cool jobs, like, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I still can do a basketball slash like paranormal investigation.
Yeah, you know?
Paranormal basketball.
Paranormal that basketball. Cool. New Olympic sport, I think.
Basketball hoops in like haunted areas. They can play basketball.
Yeah.
That'd actually be pretty interesting to see what would happen.
That would be.
She'd like move the balls. Yeah.
Okay, so me and Katty, we're both really huge fans of horror, you know, from spoof films to paranormal films to slasher films. We love this stuff. So does your interest in the paranormal also bleed into this love of the macabre, or are you strictly ghosts?
Yeah, I would say so. I'm a big horror film fan as well, so
sweet.
I kind of go off of like aesthetic too. So, you know, like for instance, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original house is in Texas, you know, and it looks haunted. Like the whole aesthetics of sitting outside in like cornfield, like it looks haunted. So
I like it. That I want to go there.
Yeah, like I like the real things. It's just awesome to me.
Oh gosh, Katty always finds the most obscure things to show me, and then gets really annoyed because I have this issue where I fall asleep watching anything, and it's never it doesn't say anything about the quality of what I'm watching. I just, the minute that I see a picture moving, I'm just like, you know, like I'm not. And Katty was trying to get me because we also love paranormal shows and found footage films, and one which Katty has been nagging me to watch forever is one called Grave Encounters.
Amazing.
Yeah, so
it's like the first half of it is like a ghost adventure spoof, and then the second half is like terrifying. I love it. It's such a good film. But she still never watched it. I mean, I tried to put it on.
She's gonna have to watch that. You'll like it.
Okay.
Do a watch party.
I need to just like tape my eyes open, just sit there. Like,
just push through it.
Well, there's that horror trope that it's always the black one dies first or is like brutally murdered. Do you ever fear that, like when you go somewhere and you're like, I'm the blackest person in this area?
100%. Yeah, 100% of the time I am the only black one there. So it's either me first.
But you're like, but I'm also the main star, so they can't kill me off yet.
I try to like make peace first. No, I don't walk in there, just be cool with everyone. Yeah. Like, guys, I know I'm a little darker than the rest, but I'm good, okay?
Just don't go ghost hunting in the South. Just no ghost hunting in the South.
And I run across like some racist spirits too as well. So
yeah.
You know, they'll tell me like, you know, the ghost upstairs doesn't like, you know, black people. I'm like, oh, it's cool. I'm expecting it. So there's like 1857 house.
You shouldn't have to expect it though. I'd be like, you can fuck off.
I would just bully them.
Just like during the time period of like most of these houses and like owners, like they didn't like black people back then.
Yeah, but you'd be like, we've moved on, Brenda. It's 2022.
Yeah. They have no choice to deal with me now, though.
I mean, you know what? You're alive, they're dead, so they've already fucking lost. So that's how I like to see it.
Yeah. I think Jasmine in that situation would terrorize them. We'd be like, you don't like Jews, do you?
Fuck you. I'm gonna go and find your money. I bet you have money. I can smell the money. Jasmine.
You guys are gonna have to come on an investigation with me.
Oh my god, that would be amazing. Yes, please.
Yes. That would be super cool.
I actually got Catty. So because I went to Florida recently, I went to St. Augustine talking about ghost hunting in the South. And I went to the old jail there. I don't know if you've ever been. It's like this.
Yeah, of course.
No, I've heard about it. I've heard about it.
Cool as hell. And I got Catty these dowsing rods from the jail. And they're like the full size ones. Yeah. You haven't even opened them yet. But
no, sorry. I've had COVID for like 2 weeks. I've had no opportunity to use them. But yes, they are.
Are you feeling better though? Are you good?
Oh, yeah. I'm feeling a lot better. Thank you very much. I'm still a bit like scratchy. I have quite a bit of vocal fry anyway. But just in case any listeners find it annoying.
Yeah, I'll open those up soon then.
But yeah, we're actually planning, to go to a place called Newsham Park Hospital.
If you ever fancy hopping across the pond, you know.
Yeah, if you want to come, you're more than welcome.
I'm down for any spooky adventure. Yeah, literally.
There we go. That's what you
guys are just like a little far, but I'll be there someday.
A little far.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. So, just basically, like, what's your favorite part about your job, and your least favorite part? Obviously, racist ghosts is gonna be it's gonna be up there for the least favorite.
My favorite part is actually seeing the location for the first time, like actually like if there's just like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy, like this is where this happened. I love that part. My least favorite part, gosh, I would say it depends what kind of night I'm having. My least favorite part is when it's slow, you know, because I'm expecting a lot. When you know you travel like hours to get to a spot, then it's just like not active. That's like, I hate it.
Yeah, I think like the traveling could get on your nerves. Like the first couple of times it'd be like, this is really cool, and then it's like, oh, I've got to drive for like
yeah, because America's huge.
Yeah, America, everything's huge. So spread out.
Yeah, it's yeah, everything's really spread out. I would say the driving back home sucks.
Yeah.
It's bad.
After a slow night as well.
The majority of it, I love it. I love everything about it.
What's the furthest you've ever driven to go to like a hunt?
Ooh. I would say maybe 11 hours.
Wow.
Maybe even more than that. It just depends. So we went to, I'm in Indiana. We went to Iowa, then Iowa to Nebraska, to Kansas. Yeah, if I'm Indiana, it's like two states over, then Nebraska. We went all the way down to like Missouri, then Missouri back to Indiana. So it was just a long drive. But we did like, we tapped like three different locations that weekend. It was awesome.
Okay, that's not too bad if it's like, you're like on the way, there's places to visit. Yeah. But like just 11 hours. Because like you can go from one end of the UK to the other in like...
five.
Yeah.
Seriously?
My friend who just flew in from Hong Kong, so she drove from France to Liverpool, and that was only 10 hours. That was from like the middle of France to Liverpool.
Wow.
And it's like, I can get a flight to Ireland for, like in half an hour, 20 minutes.
That's insane. Everything's so spread out. Like from here to California is like 24 hours. Another side of the country, so it's just crazy.
Ooh, what is the most haunted or malevolent location you've explored, and how come?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think there's a place in my hometown, the Birdsell Mansion. Okay. This is I don't know if I've investigated so many times that it's making me think this, but I'm gonna say this location just because I've experienced everything that I have at this place, at least the majority. Disembodied voices, footsteps, knocking. I've seen a creature there. I've seen a woman that's been like she's like 10 feet tall, like narrow and gray.
Like Slenderman.
Yeah, something like that, like long black hair. I've seen a lot of messed up stuff here. And actually, just this past weekend, I was investigating over there and I told my friends, I'm trying to be Corbin the investigator, right? So I go in there and I try to isolate myself and I didn't work out so good. I got a growl right in my face. I screamed. I literally screamed like a little boy. Like I just screamed and I ran out and they're like, keep going, keep going. So I'm like, okay, yeah, keep on. And I step back in there, I get a growl, and this time I ran to the other room. I tripped on something, I curled up in a
No.
ball.
I mean, it's nice for them to say, go back in.
Yeah, I know. We just had like a
rude.
discussion about that. I'm like, yeah, it was easy for you guys to say keep going when you guys didn't get a growl on your face. They're just like sitting there laughing at me. They're my friends though, they tease, but I can't wait to put them in a spot and something
Yeah.
happens to them. I'm just gonna sit there
Like,
and
oh,
laugh.
you should go full Zach Bagans and just force them to be the ones that go in the other rooms,
This
yeah.
is my cameraman, Steve. He has a chronic fear of small spaces. Steve will stay in the morgue for 5 hours. Steve just sobbing. God.
Yeah.
But to follow
So
up that question, I would say following that be Bobby Mackey's.
oh,
That's
Bobby Mackey is
what
a
is Bobby? What's
big,
is that?
yeah.
Someone tell me.
A bar. It's actually a nightclub, but it's a
Oh.
bar, basically. And
Haunted
that's where Ghost
bar.
Adventures went. And that's where they pretty much got known from, is Bobby Mackey's there.
Yeah. It's like there's supposed to be like a portal to hell in the basement or something. And
Nice.
like one of the old owners like went missing or something, and they think that he's buried down there. He like been like offed by the mafia and
Yeah,
stuff.
yep.
Yeah.
Dark place right there, so.
Damn.
So like leading on from that, what's like your scariest encounter? But also like your funniest.
Oh man. Oh gosh. I'm going to say my scariest encounter would have to be seeing that woman. I just wasn't expecting it. When you investigate a location, you're expecting to experience something, but you're not
Yeah.
expecting to actually see something of
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, like
You know what
orbs,
that is.
maybe some EVP, not
Yeah.
like terrifying Slender Woman.
I don't even know what that was. It's like
Yeah.
it's not what it wasn't a human. So like I don't know exactly what that was, but it put fear into my soul. So I cried
Mama put
afterwards. I was
torment.
like, wow,
Oh
everything's wrong with me, man. You're gonna get the real
no.
experience. So
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever watched The Dead Files, but like the psychic on that, she's like, there have been some reports of creatures like that, and she basically says that sometimes it's like just mean spirits that can deform themselves to look terrifying.
I believe it. No,
So,
I seriously believe
yeah.
it.
Like a boggart.
Like a boggart, yeah.
Yeah.
From Harry Potter.
It's next level out there.
I was going to say, are you sure that it wasn't just my sister after her shower? Because she's terrifying.
Oh
Must have
gosh.
just been.
I think since the ring, all women with wet hair are terrifying.
So I feel like I kind of already know the answer to this one. But anyway, so on Spooky Gals, Catty tends to be more of the believer in things, and I can veer a little bit more on like the skepticism or kind of just making fun of something. Would you
Yeah, not skepticism. She just takes the piss out of everything. She
every
is
everything is a
just.
party to
She
me.
just doesn't take anything seriously. She makes like a really off-the-cuff joke that I have to cut because we'd get cancelled if anyone heard it. Like even in these questions, the very first one, she'd made a very, very distasteful joke.
It was because you said that something happened in a church. So I was like...
We actually, the last guest we had on, it was Lucy from Wine and Crime, and she taught Lucy this word because it's a very British word.
I want to teach it to you as well.
Okay, go on, Jasmine.
Okay, it's called nonce.
Nonce.
Nonce. Nonce.
Yeah.
Okay.
That means paedophile.
Or if you're like in a pub and someone's like, oh, I'm going to go now, or like only one more drink, you're like, oh, you nonce.
Next time I film a video, I'm going to use nonce.
Okay. Okay. Don't blame us if you get beaten up by anyone. It's not our fault.
Call a ghost a nonce and I will literally love you forever. You call a ghost a nonce.
All right. Don't. Hey, I'll do it.
I hope so.
Yes. I hope so. Please. Yes. But anyway, so yes, getting back to this question, I tell the history in a very endearing, serious way, and then Jasmine makes very inappropriate jokes that 90% of which have to be cut from the podcast. So would you consider yourself to be more like me, where you take it slightly seriously, or like Jasmine, where you sort of play around? And also, like, I'm quite a lot more superstitious than she is, so I do take it slightly more seriously.
I take it serious. I take it very serious. But there are moments, you know, where something funny happens and you just can't help but to break the seriousness. Mm. Or if it says, like, you know, you're running the spirit box and the spirit box says something funny, like, okay, like, you have to laugh at it, you know? Yeah, there's been times where, like, to say it's slow and, like, we're just kind of, like, just hanging out, like, laughing type stuff. But it gets serious then again. So. Yeah. No, I'm a little bit of both.
Yeah, a good balance, I think. I guess, especially if you're going to like, so many places, you have to have a degree of respect for where you are as well. It can't all just be like, ah, the ghost is a pedo. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't let you back in.
Yeah.
Try to balance the respect, you know, but at the same time, something funny happens or I can't help but to laugh.
Yeah. One of my favorite ever ghost TV moments was a show called Most Haunted, and it was from like the early 2000s, and they had a medium on it called Derek Acora, who was sadly now passed, but he'd always get these, you know, these spirits coming through, and he was from Liverpool, so my accent times about 20, and so he was like, I've got a Mary. There's a Mary coming through. Mary loves dick. Mary loves dick.
Oh, like, my gosh.
I quote it about once a month.
Oh, my goodness.
Times like that, I'd be done. I'd be...
And she probably had a husband called Richard, so I think it's probably who she met. Oh,
yeah. I think
I would love to see this clip. This clip sounds hilarious.
I'll send it to you. It's really funny. Just most haunted Mary loves dick.
Oh my gosh. That is so funny.
Yeah. So in that vein, I think people tend to be either more like me or more like Jasmine. But when it comes to like, are you quite superstitious? Like the investigative tools that you use, is there some that you refuse to use, like a Ouija board?
Yeah, I don't touch those. Okay. I can't. Like, I just feel as though, like, nothing good can come from Ouija boards.
Yeah, like, even my mum, like, one of my friends gave me a Ouija board as, like, a prank gift, and she was like, I'm not having it in the house. Like, she's not even that, like, superstitious or anything, but she was like, no.
So I've been around people that use Ouija boards, and the last time I've been around that is the last time I kind of like got possessed, you want to say. I just blacked out for about 2 to 3 hours of the night. I don't remember anything. I just don't want to touch Ouija boards. I don't want to be around them. I feel like something could have came through and latched onto me. I was very vulnerable at the time. Not a good experience. So.
Yeah. I do not blame you at all. Like, I think again, like I do think everything's a laugh to an extent, but I definitely wouldn't mess with a Ouija board. I think there's just something about them which is just extra, extra nope. extra note.
Yep.
So I don't blame you.
A lot of my fans will like send me messages, and I'll go through like my message requests, and I try to respond to a lot of them, but sometimes I just can't. So somebody's like, hey, I want to use a Ouija board. I'm just like texting back, like, no, do not touch it.
Nothing else, just no.
And the craziest thing is that, like, wasn't it originally just a toy that was invented by a toy company, and now it's become...
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I feel like something which began as really quite innocent really has become such a powerful, like, tool for just bad energy. To the point where, like, a lot of things that I watch, like, yeah, I can be a little bit kind of... like skeptical, where I'm like watching things like, that's not really an orb, that's just a camera flare, but whenever it's a Ouija board involved, I'm like, nope, I believe it, I'm going.
Things are dangerous.
Agreed. Do you have a favorite paranormal investigation tool?
Dowsing rods.
Oh yeah, I love the spirit box. I feel like the spirit box gets things going, it gets things intense, and one of my specialties I like to do, I like to set out like trigger objects for spirits, like maybe like a REM pod or maybe a motion sensor. It kind of like gets things going. You know, I just feel like us being that we are here on Earth, and they're, I don't know where, but they know we can notice them and like whatever, then that's the start to the night. So
I'm very emotionally attached to all of my objects. Like...
You'll be a very easy ghost to summon.
I could lose a pen and I'd be like crying. So if you had that pen, you could easily summon me.
I hope I'm not a ghost one day. I feel like I'm going to be.
Wait, you don't want to be a ghost?
I mean, like I do, but like I don't. I don't know what's out there after this.
I'd like to at least experience it. I wouldn't like to be one of those ghosts that's like, you know, like sort of almost like in a time loop type thing.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I just want to be able to methodically scare people. Like,
oh,
really
God.
Deliberately.
You'll be
I don't
mean
think
that.
I would want to.
You wouldn't, wait, you wouldn't want to scare people, Jasmine?
No, I wouldn't want to be a ghost. I'm dead. Let me fucking sleep. I spent a lot of my time waiting for this moment. Leave me alone and let me be. I will be so mad. Like, honestly, I think sometimes the reason why ghosts are like violent when people come and say hi is because they're like, not this again. Like, they're like, I just got rid of that Zach Bagans twat and now I have you here. So they're like, I'm gonna do something so cool, I'm gonna scratch them on the back so they never come back. But then it backfires massively because they go online, they show everyone, and they're like, oh shit, let's go there too. So this ghost is like, what am I doing wrong? If they just did nothing, people wouldn't come back, right? So like, if I'm a ghost, I'm not doing shit. I'm staying still until people leave me alone.
I'm going to be like, Jasmine, I know you're here. I'm just running a spirit box. That'll be Jasmine for sure.
Yeah.
Grumpy bitch even in death. So how is it that you choose your locations, and have you ever run into any kind of trouble from owners or venues in the process of applying to actually shoot there?
No, they're all very welcoming. I can say that they've been some of the most coolest people, actually. Just whole paranormal community is just really nice. So how I choose a location, I go off of history and aesthetic. I feel as though people like to see scary. They don't like to see just like a house, and it's kind of boring, but they like to see scary, like, you know, like a hospital or a battleship, you know, something like, okay, like this looks interesting. So I try to choose, old, something cool. So I kind of go like that and have a nice game plan for the night and attack it that way. So
nice,
very good. Yeah, it's not just someone's shack.
Like, yeah, no.
Well, that would be quite scary. More
that would be scary too.
Yeah.
In a fairly recent episode, we talked about how it's always an old ghost from like the Victorian times. There's never just like a teenager from like 2012. Who's pissed off, you know, and slamming doors in the house. There are no modern ghosts, I feel. I mean, aesthetically, it wouldn't be as cool and spooky as like an old mansion if it's just like someone's one bedroom, like apartment in New York, which is completely normal.
On the EVP, it's like, free Britney. The ghost can move on now.
I feel like TV's kind of made things like, okay, this has to be a Victorian ghost or something older. But I feel as though half the times it could be something recently, or it could be something, not from that house. You just never know what spirit you're talking to at the end of the day.
That's true.
So,
Because they can lie. Spirits can lie.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Just never know.
Don't trust no bitch.
So you've never got in trouble then, even when you were doing like more urban exploring.
Oh yeah, I've been almost caught. We've almost gotten caught in a couple of times, just trespassing and doing stupid stuff, but we stopped doing that.
Yeah, the paranormal stuff's more legit.
Once I got a manager, he's just like, okay, you guys gotta stop doing this stuff.
The
I
manager
was like,
comes in.
okay, we'll do it the right way, get permission to come inside places and stuff.
That's so
No
funny.
issues there. No issues there.
Oh, cool. So, from like the places you've been, or even places that you've not been, like, what's your favorite ghost story or unexplained, presumably paranormal event in history? Because, like, you clearly like your history.
That's a really awesome question. Just got to think about the places I've been to. I would say Whispers Estate, and that's in southern Indiana. And the doctor, it was a doctor's house, so he used to bring patients in. And back in like the 20s and like the early 1900s, they didn't know exactly what to do with people when they were sick and like different infections. So he was just basically experimenting on people at this point, and they'd fail experiment and they would die. And he would literally like take their body parts apart and put them in the backyard, and they're buried and still back there. Actually, the grass is not growing because there's still body parts back there. It's cruel. It's so cruel. Like, and I don't think he ever got caught with it. I think he got away, but it was bad. The whole house is negative. It's just not good there.
That's grim. I love that kind of
Yeah,
stuff, though. I find
the
that so
history is awesome.
fascinating. It's so
It
fascinating.
reminds me of like, yeah, there's quite a things that are like demented doctors doing stuff. And it's like, I think it was like the island of Paviglia. It's like, but then that doctor like sort of started seeing things and got chased like up a bell the bell tower and then like may or may not have been pushed and stuff like that. So it's like
Gosh.
love
That was
Shyamalan.
one of Zach Bagans' all-star episodes right there.
Our boy Zach. Our boy Zach. What a king. I nearly said God rest his soul.
Just like
Not
he's not
yet.
dead, he just needs all the help that
Needs some help, okay?
Bless that guy. I would honestly, I really want to visit his creepy house full of all just all of that crap that he's all of that creepy crap that he's
His
collected.
museum, yeah.
Yes, I mean museum, creepy crap, all the same thing. But yes, I would love
I
to
need to
check it out.
go.
I know.
Got
Where
some
does he
maybe we can
live?
all go.
Yeah, he's got some cool places there. Yeah, come out, man. Like, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
On the back of that, are there any supposedly haunted hotspots which you believe to be complete hogwash? Like completely not even haunted. Don't bother going. It's a hoax.
Personally, okay, I know people have had experiences at the Demon House in Indiana. When I went, I couldn't get anything from that location. Just my personal experiences. I know other people get stuff there, but we were there for about 8 hours. Literally, like I was inside the Demon House by myself, and I didn't get anything. We may have heard a voice like on the spirit box, but other than that, like not nothing too crazy. Everywhere else though, it's just like there are spirits there for
Okay,
sure.
for sure.
Yeah.
Interesting. Demon House. I feel like that kind of place, anywhere, and I've got this with like restaurants and stuff too, anywhere that seems overly confident in its title. It's usually for a reason, right? Like Demon House. I'm clearly expecting demons, right? But I feel like they're just overstating their demonic presence just to kind of have something on the tin. You know what I mean?
Overselling
Yeah, they're like, oh, that'll do. Just sell it. Just give it to them.
So now we finally get to a place where you did find quite a bit of creepy stuff. It's a Waverly Hills Sanatorium,
Yes.
which was
Yes.
you said in the episode for it that it was your like utter dream location to investigate. So
yes.
Now that you've achieved that dream, what's next on the bucket list?
Ooh, what's next? I would say Winchester Mystery House is on my radar, and Trans-Allegheny Asylum. That's next.
Ooh. Yeah.
Those are two big bad locations that I just have to go to.
That would be amazing.
Oh yeah,
the Winchester House.
Yeah, the Winchester House would be insane. I want to be there by myself. I find that to be sick.
By yourself.
You have
big balls.
Yeah. Go dance for days, my dear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just have like a burner phone or something, like an old fashioned flip phone, like a Motorola Razr, in case they mess with your phone signal, you know.
Yeah. A landline. Just be like, yeah. I'm ready to come out now.
Yeah, guys, please, like a panic button or something to kind of come get me.
That would be incredible, so, though.
We'd love to talk about Waverly Hills a little bit.
Yeah,
like. So we've got a little bit of history here. The Waverly Hills Sanatorium, located in Louisville, Kentucky, has been dubbed the most terrifying building in America and attracts paranormal thrill seekers from all over the world to its doors. Its terrifying reputation is undoubtedly linked to its dark, tragic history. It began as an independently owned institution, opening in 1910 to deal with a severe outbreak of tuberculosis, and, after being expanded in the mid-20s, to accommodate the slew of patients clawing at its doors, the Waverly Hills Sanatorium provided care to over 400 people at the height of the epidemic. Tuberculosis was often deadly and extremely contagious, so people were usually kept quarantined in secluded spaces. Indeed, the sanatorium itself was built as a remote, self-sufficient community, with its own zip code, post office, and farmland, with even doctors and other employees unable to leave the grounds for fear of the contagion spreading. As tuberculosis treatments advanced in the early 1960s with the development of an antibiotic that could cure the disease, the facility steadily became obsolete. As such, it was renovated in 1961 and reopened the following year as a nursing home for the elderly and infirm, which lasted until 1981 when it finally closed its doors and remained abandoned for the next 20 years. It is reported that over 6,000 people are thought to have died on the property, with many believing that their restless spirits continue to roam the halls. One of the most notable sections of the sanatorium is its infamous 600-foot body chute or death tunnel, which was used by medical staff to discreetly move bodies out of the facility so as to not upset other patients and allow them to keep their hope of recovery. Another notorious area of the property is Room 502, located in the rooftop chambers of the sanatorium, which is believed to have housed tuberculosis patients who were suffering with mental illnesses or were too dangerous or volatile to be kept around the larger population. It is also allegedly the site of a nurse's death by suicide. So it sounds terrifying, and like, I'm sure most people will have already heard of it. But tell us about your experiences there.
It was amazing. From the moment we got on the property to the end of the night, it was one of the most beautiful locations and the most terrifying locations I've ever been to. Yeah, it was just active, like nonstop. It was just active, you know, from the moment we got there. Me and my group, we just kind of like branched off from the others. And, you know, it was just right there with us like the whole night. We're asking questions. You guys seen bits and parts of the video, like we're just asking questions. I mean, REM pop is going off, voices. There's even one part of the night where something was crawling on like the wall, And it just freaked me out, you know, it just scared me. And we caught a shadow, you know, it's just an active place, you know? So everything you hear about Waverly Hills Sanatorium, it lives up to the hype. It's just an awesome impression.
God, that Very body awesome. Shoot, like every video I've seen of that thing just puts chills up my spine. It is horrifying.
Yeah, it is place. Terrible.
Yeah.
We actually went down there and like we didn't get anything from it.
Wow. Okay.
Nothing.
I mean,
yeah, nothing,
did but- you like feel, was did it feel weird even, or was it just like, no, this is the chillest part of the entire building?
Extremely creepy being down there, but as far as activity wise goes, no, we didn't really get anything.
Okay.
So which part did you get the most?
Oh gosh, the second floor was pretty terrible, and the fourth floor, that's where like everything's just going crazy. Like the hallways are just long and dark. You know, you have to walk down these long dark hallways, and there's rooms on each side, so you just don't know what you're going to see when you're walking down. But yeah, the second floor was by far the most terrifying floor. Like, it gives me nightmares still.
Seriously,
jeez,
yeah,
it's like so typical horror film. It's Grave Encounters. You really watch Grave Encounters
that eventually. Film again.
Yeah,
don't
sorry,
shame me. Okay. I will. Oh, one day, I will. what was I going to say about that place? Wait, so did you guys have in your team, there's one girl with you that frequently gets possessed, isn't there? Like someone
well,
that
she's like a
possessed?
Medium, like sensitive.
Yeah.
She was a guest for us that episode. She's very sensitive. She's always been sensitive. I actually met her like my second investigation ever.
Oh wow.
And we're doing an interview. Yeah, we're doing an interview and she's like, "Oh, I'm sensitive." I'm like, "Cool, let me take your numbers. I want you to do in the future." So yeah, she's sensitive. I felt as though like her and my friend were really in their heads, but they could have been really feeling what they were feeling there. But they got to a point where like they started crying and like having a panic attack. I'm like, "Okay, we'll stop for a second."
Like, okay,
me, I like to keep pushing. I like to keep pushing, especially when stuff's happening. I don't want to stop. So,
yeah. I mean, I feel like in most cases of paranormal activity, even if it's like a malevolent spirit who like touches people or maybe even scratches them, it's not really like paranormal activity where they're like flying across the rooms and things are opening and closing. So I can understand the desire to like stick it out and just kind of see what you can get from a situation. But has anything like violent ever happened to you, like on camera or like to your teammates?
Always. Yeah. Yeah, always. We're always getting like touched or, you know, nudged or pulled on. Like at Madison Seminary, that you guys don't get a kick out of this one, but I was sitting down on the chair and something like literally grabbed my butt. Like, as I'm sitting down on the chair, so
God.
I'm like, "Hey, like, take me out first, like, you know." Just so normal getting touched these days, I guess.
Oh gosh, bless you. God, I mean, maybe can you sue ghosts for sexual harassment? I don't know. That might be something lucrative.
You can.
To Beautiful.
Yeah, it's just how are we going to punish a ghost though? Like how are we going to do that?
Salt.
Yeah, that's
just fling play. Salt at them.
Like supernatural.
So how many hours did you actually spend in Waverly?
I was spending a good probably 9-10 hours there.
Oh God!
Wow.
Yeah. Investigation days are long. So.
Oh my goodness.
Because the video of it's awesome. Like everyone, go and check it out. On YouTube, Beyond Paranormal is the group and their Waverly Hills Sanatorium. But Such the video is only like,
is it
the video is
minutes?
Like, yeah.
45.
Yeah.
So 9 hours and just condensed.
Yes. Editing was like 3-4 days. I just had to break it down. Because there'd be like some moments where like it'd be like slow, but majority of the time it's just really active.
God.
Yes, it's been a journey this year, I'll tell you that.
So if you've been doing this now for, you said 3 years, right?
Yes.
So then you would have gotten started just before the glorious reign of Miss Corona herself. That must have put a big dampener on things for you in the gang.
It was. A lot of locations weren't allowing people to come in, so.
They scared you're going to give the ghost Corona.
Yeah. This is like with people coming in, like, I can graciously say this, that I'm blessed to have a following to be able to kind of persuade owners to kind of come in help with the location. But yeah, it was tough for a while. Like, we really didn't do too many locations, but kind of had that luxury. So I'm pretty blessed about that.
Which I would think that actually it would almost be the opposite, because it's like, if you're letting in, like, I know you've got like a group that you go with, but if you're letting in like one person, I wouldn't think that there was anything wrong with that.
People were so scared, you know, when COVID happened, like, okay, like, you get it, you're going to die. Which
I'm so unknown.
Kind of, but, God. You know, they're just like freaking out about it. So wait it out, I guess.
You talking about how like crazy it's been recently, and that brings us perfectly along to your new projects, if you'd like to talk about them for a bit.
Yeah, currently I'm working on an upcoming TV series, kind of web series right now, with A&E's Ghost Hunters, Daryl Marston and Chelsea Gill. She's a ninth generation medium. She's awesome. And I don't know how much I can tell you about the project, but it's going to be amazing. Like, it's going to be all live. So it's going to be amazing. So everything's going to be raw and just real. Like, it's amazing. I'm super excited about it. And I'm also working on a series with Hoops. I don't know if you guys know who that is. She won I Love Money back some years ago. We're working on some paranormal stuff as well. So it's going to be an amazing year this year. I'm excited about it.
Incredible.
That sounds awesome.
And plus, I'm doing tours. Like, some people come meet me, and you know, I'll do some tours. It's gonna be awesome.
Do you wanna list those tours if anybody's interested?
I don't have any dates.
Oh, you don't have any dates.
But I believe August 6th, which is my birthday, I might go out to Virginia City with Daryl Marston and do, I think, the WashU Club.
Oh, awesome!
Yes. I know that one. That one looks cool.
Yeah, okay. That's a cool place. I do know, I'm gonna try to, it's not for sure yet, but Nick Groff and Tessa are trying to get me on one of their dates for the tour. So,
oh, awesome!
Yeah, I'm trying to work on that as well. So, got some pretty cool opportunities. I can't complain.
Yeah,
congratulations! Very well,
yes, congratulations! Sounds awesome. Everybody, keep an eye out for Corbin's upcoming tours.
I'm excited.
I think the biggest challenge with the live thing is just not swearing, because you're not really allowed to swear in America, are
you? I'm going to have to. I don't know what I'm going to do about that.
He's like, I don't know that law. Okay.
Yeah. In the UK, it's basically once it hits 9 p.m., everyone's allowed to swear on TV.
It's an actual rule. Yeah.
Once it hits 9 p.m., everyone can swear. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's like called the watershed. So it's like, they're like, children should be asleep now. Anyone's allowed to swear.
I'm sure like the producers will be able to like kind of catch those words and bleep them out. I don't know what's going to happen. It's live.
Yeah. So we now have some listener stories, which we're going to read out. We haven't done any listener stories for a while. Some of them, yeah, the email might have eaten some of them. So if you don't hear yours, listeners, and you've sent us some, then feel free to resend them.
Reminder.
They may have been waiting around for a couple of years. But super excited to read some of these. Some of them are really creepy.
Yeah, so Corbin, basically every 10 episodes we try to splice in a few of our listeners' own paranormal experiences. We've had some pretty cool ones. There was one from this guy, someone, I don't remember what their gender was, who said that they were in this like lady's house that had just died, and they were moving furniture out, and then like they mentioned as a joke, like, what if we take that, and then like this glass just went flying off a shelf, and they were like, okay, we're not gonna take that, like, grumpy old lady's very much not happy with that idea, we're not gonna do that.
Yeah, we got some really cool listener stories.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome, let's hear them. Yeah.
Do you want to go first, Jazz?
Yeah, cool. I'll go for blah, 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 blah. Let me see. I'm going to go for this one from Tony. Okay, there we go. So, hello, you spooktacular duo. I'm not going to fanboy out, but I just have to say that I love the podcast. Thank you for following me on Instagram and letting me into your world of spooky tales. You're welcome, Tony. We love you. Like I said on Instagram, I just finished listening to all back episodes and I'm now a fan for life, so keep it up. My name is Tony and I'm from California, and you can use my name. Well, I'm glad you said that because I've been doing it already. I have a short story for you. First, I have to tell you that I've been sober for almost 10 years now. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. And this first story I used to think was alcohol induced. Ha ha ha. I live in a duplex with my wife and young daughter. Sometimes I feel like I'm being watched, and a few times I have seen something out of the corner of my eye. I've also seen things most of my life. Some of them I used to say were drug induced, but for all truth, I just see them. So here's the story. I was lying in bed, trying to fall asleep and trying to get comfortable. As I turned away from my sleeping wife, I felt a hand grab and caress my testicles.
The butt story isn't so bad now, is it, Corbin?
I turned around. Was not expecting testicles. On a Wednesday night. I turned around really quick and asked my wife if she wanted to get lucky, and she was still sleeping. Nicely done, Tony. She said, "No, I'm fucking sleeping, you nut." Then she asked me why, and I told her that a little ghost just groped me. She laughed and then fell back to sleep. So I said out loud, "If you're gonna touch, you gotta go."
Oh my goodness.
I do have another one about my grandmother, but I will have to send that one later. Much love and respect from a new fan for life, Tony. P.S. I haven't seen or been groped since.
Wow.
I am glad Tony has not been touched since then.
I mean, but he also hasn't been seen, so I hope you're doing okay.
I don't know what to tell Tony, man. He's got me out of it. Like,
Tony has a spooky ghost, spooky pervy ghost.
Freaky ghost.
Touching his balls.
Ghost.
When you just flick.
I love the fact that he like asks his wife, he's like, "So, like, am I gonna be lucky?"
Yeah, is that how she normally initiates?
Yeah, I guess so, right?
Cave woman.
That's a story. That takes my story like
I feel like you and Tony have a lot in common, my dear. Mm. You guys have a lot, unfortunately.
He's got me beat.
Support group.
Really beat.
You could say that he's got you by the balls. Hey!
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That kicks.
Wow.
That kicks it right there.
I'm an awful person. Katrina, your turn.
Jesus.
Cheers, Tony. That was brilliant.
I am going to read our first one from Dylan, because Dylan has sent us two.
Oh, okay.
And they're sort of interlinked, because he's basically been stalked by ghosts his entire life.
Oh, God.
So it all began when my mum and stepfather got together and bought this house in the middle of the woods in Swansea, South Carolina. So, short story first, because it's quite a long one and probably way too long for your show. The previous owners died of old age in the house, and that's why we got it for so cheap. Needless to say, I don't think that was the case looking back at it now as an adult. I remember as a kid, around 13, me and a buddy of mine were playing the Xbox 360, and behind was the door to my bedroom, and it had an inch gap underneath where you could look underneath the door and see the hallway leading to my stepsister's room. I don't think doors should ever have bits that you can see through, because that's so scary. Well, as we were playing, we both noticed that the hallway lights seemed to be off, and it was pitch black in the hallway. So being the curious and deviant kid I was, I went to go turn them back on, because it just never felt right in that house in the dark. Lo and behold, as I opened the door, I noticed that the lights were still on, and I was looking back at my buddy, and I asked him to confirm that there was nothing on before I opened the door, and he confirmed that I was correct, or at least we thought. That night, when he went home, He had been scared that someone was watching us. I tried to go to bed. Terrible decision. That night I had a dream. Some might say a night terror, but I say that I finally saw what was in that house. In that dream I was playing the Xbox with my buddy again, but this time when I looked under the door, there was nothing but pitch black darkness that you couldn't see if you tried, and when I opened the door I noticed that the lights were on and turned to look back for my buddy, but he was gone. I heard a creaking noise and looked back, and there was the door to my stepsister's bedroom, slowly creeping open inch by inch. As it finally swung open fully, I noticed that the room was completely filled with just black smoke or thickness staring back at me. I'm frozen with fear just staring into the darkness, and then a little girl with long black hair and long arms starts to run down the hall and chase me out of my bedroom, down the stairs and around the house, and into the basement as she caught me and slit my throat. Then I woke up in a sweaty panic in my room, with marks all around my neck, which I didn't find out until later in the morning when I went to take a shower. That very morning, I asked my mum where the old owners used to sleep, and she says, "In your sister's room. Why do you ask?" I told her I just had a bad feeling about that room and about my dreams, and of course, like any mum would say, she said that it was just a dream and that she'd never let anything hurt me. To this day, I have to look over my shoulder telling this story, because in the end, I feel like something was trying to attach itself to me, and possibly did, but it's too much personal stuff to talk about on the air. Stay spooky, and I'll see you on the other side. Dylan.
Wow.
Damn. Creepy dreams.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I mean, yeah. I've got to say, I thought the long arm sounded kind of funny. Just this girl like running up to you. But I mean, like a long-armed grudge.
Mm. Yeah. It's just that imagery of like something standing in front of the door and making it dark. And you open the door and the lights are on.
That's actually very concerning. You know, I would hope he
yes.
finds a priest or somebody to come bless his home or him. Mm-hmm. That's not a normal dream.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, no. I don't think he lives there anymore, but it is. No, but like, his second story is scarier. His second story, I cannot wait to read out.
Gosh.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. Dylan.
Dylan.
Praying for you, man.
Yeah, I mean, like he did say that he felt like something was trying to attach itself to him, and maybe it did, if he still feels like he's being watched.
Yes, you know? Well, the next story, which I will read after Jasmine's read another one.
Okay.
Ooh, he does think that occurred because something has attached to him.
Oh, God.
Gosh, yeah, literally.
Sounds pretty likely. Yeah. Okay, I'll go with this one here. Right, I'll go with Christina. Christina, okay. Cool, there we go, right. Hi ladies, I'm a newbie as of today. I went to a very well-known haunted place here in Tennessee. It's called the Thomas House Hotel in Red Boiling Springs. Ever heard of that one? You're nodding away, Corbin's nodding yes. There we go. I went ghost hunting with a group of friends back in July of 2019. I arrived at the hotel around 6:30 in the evening and was going to go up to my room. I walked up the old creaking stairs and made it to my room. I was chatting a bit with some friends in the hallway until, out of the corner of my eye, I saw an apparition. It was a woman wearing a white gown and had her hair all done up. She had no facial expression on her face. You could see her as you and me. So incredibly lifelike, I immediately freaked out and told my friends, but they didn't see anything. After getting quickly refreshed in my room, I went downstairs and decided to go explore the campus. We went outside and walked down the long driveway to the old church that was right across from the hotel. Already getting bad vibes from that old church, nope. The church is white, small, with no windows or AC. Also, no one knows how old it is. Another fucking red flag. We wanted to do some dowsing rod experiments, as with a brief history of the church and its previous owner, who apparently didn't like women. We heard that his congregation hanged him right above from where we were, right above from where we were standing. So we went a bit closer inside the church and started our experience. We asked him questions and he immediately responded with a yes or no. We continued to ask if he didn't like us being at the church and he responded yes with the dowsing rod. I have evidence of this happening on video. I also felt a tug on my jean shorts. We asked him if he was still stuck here, and immediately a massive branch fell from across the road. We then asked if he made the tree branch fall, and he said yes. Now, people can't break a massive tree branch with their bare hands. It's physically impossible to do so. You'd have to use a saw or something. It also wasn't windy that day, and there was no hardware or equipment in sight. Since he then wanted us to leave, which we did, we walked back up to the hotel in complete shock, talking about what had just happened. Walking into the dining room, we watched a short documentary about the hotel and a ghost hunting show that featured the hotel. We were told that in the dining room underneath the tile were satanic markings and such. In the past, the hotel had satanic and Indian rituals and multiple deaths. And, I believe, a murder. This hotel really had seen everything. Nightfall followed soon after, and the ghost hunting was finally beginning. I went into the hallway with my group and did some EVPs in pitch black. My senses and nerves were out of whack that night, as fear wanted to consume my being. As I was waiting in pure darkness, I'm 34 and still hate the dark, I felt the daintiest icy touch to my right shoulder. I said out loud that I had felt something, and we did a very quick EVP question, waiting for the response back, and you can hear, clear as day, a woman saying, yes. We've only had one person talk to the recorder as we sat in silence. We wanted to do some more trigger objects, but there was no activity. We walked back downstairs and decided to go back to the church. Why? I wasn't a fan of the church since I got a heavy feeling on my shoulders the last time I was in there and I was scared about the unknown. But I faced my fears and womaned up and did it. Waiting again in darkness, I'd gotten the burning sensation on the left side of my shoulder. But there was no redness, even though I could feel it. We were in the church for a while, waiting with the doors shut and no AC, with sweat trickling down my face. We had a man leave our group because it was too hot and needed to leave the church. He went back up to the hotel and he was gone for about 25 minutes. As one of the ghost hunters asked to open up the front door, and they opened and we saw a black figured silhouette. We all screamed bloody murder and saw that it was the man that had left. As he was coming back in, he tripped and we all screamed some more and began laughing. Completely unexpected. Around 2 a.m., we went back and forth to the church a few more times for more EVPs and such, where one of the other visitors made his own portal. He started it up for us and claimed that he was talking to a demon, which liked to be called the One.
Ooh. Why? Why would you this do that?
This demon's cocky as fuck.
Yeah.
Sounds terrible.
Shit demon. Shit tier. There were a few demons he was talking to as we all sat in silence and they liked to talk over each other. Of course.
Like us.
Then suddenly, one of the demons said my name a few times and my phone automatically opened, which is always on lock with a passcode. It said in the search bar, Ted Bundy colors.
What?
The demon then said, Google. As that happened, I could feel my face drain of all colour. I had one of my friends hold my hand, but I was too nervous. Around 4:30 in the morning, we decided to go back to our rooms for some shut-eye. I didn't get much sleep because we woke up at 7:30 in the morning. However, I did sleep very well. Ghost hunting drains all the energy out of you, mentally and physically. At the end, you're absolutely exhausted. It also makes you very hungry too. So, my fellow ladies, there you go. My ghost story. Sincerely, Christina. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you, Christina.
It's an awesome experience, actually.
Yeah. Does it make you very hungry, Colvin?
Yes, it does. I am literally starving afterwards. Really, like, super tired.
Go for a massive breakfast.
God, I bet.
Yeah.
I think it's just all of like the nerves from it as well. Just really just like
the adrenaline. Yeah, you must be like so tired as well.
Mm-hmm. You're so aware for hours. You're just constantly looking and using your ears. Mm. It's just afterwards just gets like, okay, I'm tired.
Okay, so finally, here's the next story from Dylan.
To wrap us up.
So this story has never been said out loud, nor has it been mentioned ever again after this incident. Hey, you beautiful spooky ladies.
You too, Corbin. Spooky lady. Yes. One of us.
Okay. Including Corbin.
Hi, Dylan.
There you go.
You and your luscious beard.
Oh, oh man. Thank you.
Mine pales in comparison.
We're working on that, Caddy. We're working on that.
I used to be a firefighter in town, and I'd like to keep most of the details hidden due to this incident that happened with my friends and I, who worked at the same station. It was around 3:10 a.m. A fellow firefighter and I working were trying to catch some sleep, since we were going to be on call all night. We were woken up by dispatch telling us that there was a fully engulfed house, and we immediately sprung into action. It took us about 10 minutes to get there, because it was on the outskirts of our town. When we got there, we saw this two-story house up in flames. Everyone was outside, and perfectly safe, being that they were all the way across the street. Or so we thought. It was so incredibly hot that we and another fire department from the next town over came to help, and we took turns fighting it. As we realised that we weren't going to be able to save the house, we decided to go on the defensive and protect the surrounding buildings by dousing the ground and nearby walls with water to prevent it spreading. As we made entry, my buddy and I went in and tried to see if there was anything we could save item-wise for the family. As we went into one room, we had noticed the crib and something was inside it. Heartbroken, we'd noticed the infant that we were no longer able to save, but we still tried our best. At this moment, I can only speak for myself for this next part. I immediately felt a burst of rage and anger come over me. As my buddy said that we need to leave, I acknowledged him and turned around, and in the back corner of the house, easily visible through a massive hole where the wall used to be, I see something staring back at me, with nothing but a cheek-to-cheek smile, but with no eyes. I immediately panic and rush out the house, and toss all of my gear to the ground, and I start to hyperventilate. To this day, I have no idea what I saw, but if you read my last story, then you'll understand why I was terrified. Later that month, after taking a well-needed break, I turned in my badge and equipment, and I told my chief that I couldn't handle the stress anymore, and that I wished them the best. To this day, I have nightmares of this night. Sorry for it being so long. I tried to get every detail in it that I could. Also, one more important detail that I forgot to mention. I knew the family, and they had no infant child. Oh. Stay spooky, ladies.
God damn.
I know.
Chills.
At first I read this and I was like, wow, that's too dark if there's a dead baby. Like, I think that's where we'll draw the line. But then when he was like, they didn't have a baby.
That is horrible.
He's got some, he's got some scary stories. I'm sure he has more too. So God. I would love to come back on here from Dylan again.
Yeah. I mean, I can put you in contact with Dylan.
Oh yeah, Dylan's a cool dude. Like, he texts us a lot. He's a sweetie.
Yeah, Dylan's really cool. He's in a current fight to be our number one fan.
Oh yeah,
with Andrew, the number one fan.
Yeah. They're gonna have to move over because it's me now. So.
Yeah. Make me so happy. God, I love how we can all still smile and giggle after hearing about a baby being bit from a crisp.
It wasn't a real dead baby. It's fine.
It's just a fake baby.
Just terrible. But yeah, how like terrifying, and like he sent me even like articles about the house burning down and stuff. But to be so like affected by it that you just. And like it takes a long time to become a firefighter, and it's so much hard work and dedication and stuff, and then to turn your badge in over something so horrifying.
Scary.
It's just like, wow, Dylan.
Dylan's got some stories. That's all I can say.
Corbin's like, hit me up. Hit me up, Dylan.
I think it's very like, most of these stories are just creepy.
I know.
Yeah.
Like I can't really like grasp it. It's just like really like scary to even.
I can't imagine. Just like the situation, like with just flames everywhere, and I think to me that's what's the scariest part is that it wasn't just a shape. It was everything was on fire.
Yeah, everything's on fire. You think you see a dead baby,
and then you
in a crib that's also not there, and then you turn around and there's like something smiling at you through a hole.
Nope.
The smile. Yeah, the smile is extremely
with
scary.
No eyes. Something with no eyes smiling at you.
I couldn't imagine. I think I would stop investigating for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I would.
I mean, you know what they say, the eyes are the window to the soul.
Maybe he didn't have one.
True.
Amazing. God, Cathy, that was brilliant. I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm excited about it. It's great.
I know. What time is it over there with you, for you guys?
20 to 11. Now,
yeah,
I think in the evening.
Yeah, PM.
What about you?
It is 5:43.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for spending almost 2 hours talking to us. Holy shit.
Yeah, so wow. Sorry.
It's not good. It's an honor. Thank you guys for having me on here.
Thank you so much for joining us. So
you guys have been awesome.
This has been really, really special. Honestly, it's been super cool. And everyone, please go. I'm sure that everyone already knows who you are, but if you don't, you can go and check out Corbin on Instagram. If you want to let people know where they can talk to you and find you, that would be cool.
Yeah, just Instagram, guys. You know where to find me, Corbin.Bentley. I'm open to opening messages and communicating about any stories, or if you guys need help, I'm here. So.
Yay! Thank you so much. Yes, and thank you everybody. We hope that you have enjoyed our episode 50. Wee-hee. Super special with the amazing Corbin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys.
Does anybody have any final words before I do the outro?
No.
Thanks for having me a part of 50. This is going to be memorable for me.
Yeah,
definitely. Wouldn't have it any other way. Thank you so much. It's super special.
When you guys get to 500, you got to have me on. Milestone.
When we're 84, yeah.
Welcome to episode 500.
like the crypt keepers, all of us. Okay, go on, Cathy, hit it.
Okay. Well, thank you everyone so much for listening, and we hope to have you back for the next episode. If you want to get in touch for any reason, just to say hello or to send us a story of your own true paranormal, or spooky experience, please email us at spookygirlspodcast@gmail.com. You can also check us out on Twitter @spookygirlspod and on Instagram @spookygirlspodcast. If you want to support us further, then you can become a patron by going to patreon.com/spookygirls. And from as little as $2 a month, you gain access to bonus episodes and to other awesome content that we have planned for the future. Thank you all so much, and we'll see you all next time. Stay spooky. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mary loves Dick. Mary loves Dick. Harry loves Dick. A nice lady, but I feel as if she's got this great love. For Dick.
Right.
For Dick.
Okay.
Great love.